You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Latest Edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. A little later on in the show, Archie and Case will be here to look ahead to that big second leg between PSG and Bayern. But we kick things off by welcoming into the show Don Hutchinson and Frank LaBeouf. We were wondering where to start today. And then Stevie Nicol saunters in and goes against pretty much what everybody said on yesterday's show. And he said it was the right decision to disallow the Cavani goal in the Spurs match yesterday. The floor is yours, Stevie.
Well, as much as this is a beautiful move between Pogba and Cavani, the truth is, if a player strikes another player in the face, it's a foul. McTominay, no question, is using his right arm to fend off his opposition, which is fine. If he catches him in the arm, if he catches him in the shoulder, these are all things that we all accept because it is a contact sport.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're not allowed, regardless of whether you mean it or not, you are not allowed to catch your opponent in the face. And McTominay catches him in the face. And nobody has said he didn't catch him in the face, but why is everybody saying it's not a foul? Give me one reason. If you hit an opponent in the face, whether you mean it or whether you don't, please explain to me how it's not a foul or why it's not a foul.
Don Hutchinson.
I've spent the whole day at the Premier League today saying you will not see or not hear from a pro or an ex-pro who says that is illegal. And then all of a sudden, I come on ESPN and Stevie Nicol said, should be disallowed. It was an accident.
So what?
Accidents happen, Stevie.
So what?
It's an accident.
Listen, every single
time... I'll tell you what.
Like, explain this to me then. So every time a centre-half and a centre-forward go for a ball and they both raise their arms, they head it, and one catches an elbow in the face, why do referees give fouls and yellow cards if they're accidents?
Well, you're going to take it to the nth degree where we're going to see people like Paul Pogba, who plays with his arms and fobs people off, and Scott McTominay fobbed him off. You're going to see, or you're going to want yellow cards. And if he does it again,
no, I'm not.
Another yellow card and being sent off from the pitch.
I'm not. I already said.
You are.
I already said it's a contact sport. And if you're fobbing somebody off, we all know you can fob them off in the arm or the shoulder, but you can't fob them off by smashing them in the face. How's that?
He didn't smash him in the face.
Did he hit him in the face? It's a straight yes or no.
With a little fingernail.
Oh, here we go. So, he didn't hit him hard enough to warrant anything, is it now? Listen, you strike your opponent in the face. You strike your opponent in the face, it's a free kick.
He didn't strike him. You're saying it like he struck him in the face.
Right, hold on then.
Let me put it another way.
A third way for you. Does Son run into his arm or does McTominay's arm go towards Son?
I would say he fobs him off. That would be what I would,
so his arm,
I would say. I would classify
so his
that.
Arm, okay. Yes. His arm goes towards Son's face. Not the other way around.
But Stevie, there's 22 footballers on a football pitch. We can't just keep saying if someone accidentally hits someone on the head, on the nose, or the jaw, or the neck, it's a foul, it's a yellow card, it's a goal disallowed. I don't know where the game's going if that's disallowed.
McTominay throws his arm and it hits an opponent in the face. And you're telling me
that should be allowed. Right, so Stevie, so do me a favour, Stevie. Stand by with that when we see people like Paul Pogba and other players do the same thing and nothing happens.
If that's going to be your law, then it has to be across the board. That's not my fault. I'm not refereeing the game. I'm just telling you what happened in this
occasion.
But it's
your rationale.
My rationale is if I gesture with my hand towards an opponent and I hit him in the face, I'm certainly going to expect it's going to be a free kick.
Frank, what's your rationale?
Come on, Frank. Help me out, Frank.
Yes, I will go with Don, but I will try to explain to Stevie, because maybe he didn't see the beginning of the action, and I'm very surprised about that. Why McTominay is slapping in the face Son for only one reason. It's because Son tries to grab him and he tries to get rid of his arm, of Son's arm, you know, trying to grab him. So it's an accident because he tries to get rid of it and because Son is making the first foul. Otherwise, it would have never hit Son in the face. It's because Son tries to stop the action, so therefore to make a foul, that then he tried to get to be released in a way. So it's why he hits Son accidentally, but never on purpose. It's because Son made the first foul. Look at that, boom. That's it.
It doesn't matter. What's it on purpose got to do with this? He strikes his opponent on the face accidentally, yes. But the problem I have is that it's McTominay is the one who instigates throwing his arm. You just did it on camera. You just did that. And if I do that and I hit the opponent in the face, that's a free kick.
Stevie,
and you can talk, you're talking about,
you didn't hear
Yeo Min Song. Yeo Min Song was trying to grab him. Oh, boo-hoo. Everybody's trying to grab everybody for 90 minutes. That's got nothing to do with swinging your arm and hitting somebody in the face.
No.
Surely.
You just admit it by saying that that McTominay instigate the action, where it's definitely Son who started the action, trying to grab McTominay. Therefore, you know, I don't know what your interpretation of football. You're normally not allowed to grab a player's shirt.
Okay.
Since when? It's allowed to grab a player's shirt.
Okay, right. Well, okay. So let's agree that you're not allowed to grab a player's shirt, right? So the referee misses that.
And?
If the referee misses that, and then the guy does that and hits him in the face,
what's the referee supposed to do?
The consequences, because you get fouled, you're allowed to throw your arm into the face of your opponent.
But you said to Frank, Stevie.
We all agree that this was an accident.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and even you said it, Stevie.
He's thrown his arm. Oh, well, let me answer your question. He's thrown his arm to fob him off, right? He's thrown his arm to get rid of him, try to grab him, or to hold him off, right? Which is fine. But when you're doing that, you're not allowed to strike your opponent in the face. Whether it's accidental or not.
He didn't strike him in the face, though, did he?
Don, did he catch him in the face?
No, he did catch him in the face.
But I don't think he struck him.
I've got nothing else to say, because I've told you 1,000 times.
Stevie!
You hit your opponent in the face, which you've agreed he hit him in the face. How it's not a foul, I'm sorry. You can't change your mind.
We could be here all day. Stay with that thought, then. We'll see Pogba in a minute or two.
OK, well, we dropped that bit in the end. There we are. OK, right.
Brilliant.
That's where we're talking about one incident in a game which didn't actually matter overall because Manchester United got the win despite Spurs having the lead. And it's a continuing theme with Tottenham this season. In fact, it's never happened with a Jose Mourinho side in the past that they have conceded so many points after taking the lead. You take a look at this, that, and that's even before the season's end. Speaking about it, Mourinho said, "We have a problem with holding on to leads, yes. I'm not ready to go deeper into it with you because every time I try to go a little bit deeper, there is always a reaction. So it's better I stay in this position and I don't give anything more than this." So what's the psyche, Stevie? Is it Spurs take the lead and then think, God, we can't concede and everything kind of gets too much for them?
Well, when they take the lead and then clearly he has spoken to them and said, look, when we get ahead, we just sit and we break. That's all very well if you can actually sit and defend a lead, but they clearly can't do that.
Why can't they do that?
Well, because the personnel clearly are not capable of doing it.
Right.
Because they've got 18 times they've had a lead and lost it. That tells you that what they're doing is not working. So why is he staying with that? You know, you can either replace players, put a defender on, take an attack-minded player off. You can change the formation. You can go and do what your West Broms and everybody does and sticks 3 centre-backs and 2 wide guys and you end up with 5-4. You can do all kinds of different things, but he actually leaves it and tells them to keep doing the same thing when they clearly can't do it. That's got to be down to the coach, surely.
Don, what's the point of Mourinho if he can't even keep Leeds anymore?
It's a good question. And I don't know why he's trying to instill this belief or this
psyche into the players, where all you do is look at Tottenham and all we rave about every single week is how good they are and how good the squad is. And if managers across the league wanted some of the Tottenham players, they are top-end players, so why not try and accept the fact that you might give up a goal in a game? It's not ideal, but you could beat teams 2-3, 4-1. You know, I don't know why. You know, you go to teams like Wolves and you score in the first 60 seconds and you try and defend for the rest of the game. You go to teams like Crystal Palace, and Tottenham should be beating Crystal Palace comfortably. They score against them, then they try to hang on. When you do that against good sides, Dan, you know, the standard in the Premier League is high. And if you offer territorial advantage to someone like, you know, Crystal Palace or Wolves or at the weekend Man United are going to break you down. So something has to change in Jose's thinking. He's not managing the Real Madrid sides and the Inter sides where he can try and rely on winning 1-0s every week. That's not going to happen in the Premier League because, as Stevie said, the personnel's not good enough.
So how do you fix it, Don?
One or two ways. You give Jose a lot of money and you tell him to buy defenders who can actually defend. Or you change the manager. I think it's pretty simple. It's one of the two. Which way, if you're Daniel Levy and the owners, do you want to go?
Frank?
Well, I guess it's not only a defender who will change something. And I really think that the future of Mourinho is maybe away from Spurs very soon. The thing is, just go back to what I said some months ago about the fact that as long as the player stick to what he wants and his system, it's going to work. So they all defended, all ran like crazy, working hard all together until they started to lose games and be fed up with the system. But because the system cannot be changed because Jose has decided that was the best system, there is a confrontation. And those players don't want to run like they used to run because maybe they cannot, because we are in the middle of the pandemic, because they're not the type of player who can run for like 10 months, because they are not maybe well prepared, and just because they're fed up, because those players want to be creative. And you cannot be creative with that system where it is you defend, you score a goal, and you hold it. And if it doesn't work, you just cry. It's what's going on right now.
Let's just check out what else happened in the Premier League regarding controversial calls. This one from Monday, West Brom taking on Southampton. West Brom thought they'd taken the lead in the fourth minute. Linesman has got his flag up. A unique situation here in that VAR is trying to draw the line of Digne, who scores the goal, but it can't. It can't find a definitive point of where his body ends so they can then draw a line. So in the end, they have to go with the on-field call, which is offside. West Brom obviously going on to win this game. Quite a unique call here, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows that with all the technology today, that there are situations, and this is one in a million. This is one in a million of this happening. But the fact is, it did happen. And then you have to follow on to what's next. And what's next is the call on the field.
Right.
And you have to go with it. It's the wrong call, in my opinion, but we have to go with it. But for me, it just proves how good VAR is, because 99.9 times out of 100, we get the right decision. And it's in my opinion, it worked out for West Brom that they ended up winning this game. But, I mean, this could have gone the other way and made a huge difference to them.
Don, it's the old classic lines on the pitch, which I saw you once again tweet out your classic line that you should just use your eyes. Don't worry about the lines. Use your eyes to see what's going on.
That's my answer. Listen, I'm not the oracle on it, but if you want to try and fix it, in my opinion, I would suggest take the lines away. And then when you put that pause on, you say to the guys in VAR, what do you see? And if they see Diagne onside, we'll play on. If you see someone a yard or two offside, he's offside. If it's too tight and you can't see anything, you know, like the one at the weekend in the Liverpool game, you say, you know, play on. Advantage
of the
attackers.
I just think. Don, that depends.
But even
in
the Liverpool game, I'm pretty. Yeah, but in the Liverpool game, I'm still pretty convinced the more I look at the Liverpool one, it wasn't offside. So I think you take the lines off, in my opinion. You say to the VAR guys, what do you see there with the naked eye?
I think I'll go with technology. No offence at all.
What, do you think the Liverpool one was offside, Stevie?
I'm going to go with technology. Let's be honest. Then somebody.
Do you think Jota was offside? Do you think Jota was offside?
Because, yes, because they showed me it was at the time. No, but they showed me it was offside. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the technology. It's unfortunate that somebody, and it's happened to Liverpool a lot this year, that they get done by millimetres. But it's shown to be the right decision. Technology's correct.
Don's had his eyes lasered, though, Stevie.
Oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
I'll swap you. Give me your eyes and I'll give you my glasses.
let's move away from the Premier League and head to it. Here to Italy. Lazio scoring, this is just the start of the second half. Similar, I suppose, to the Son goal. It was called off because of VAR. Frank, where do you stand on this one?
Again, now we can see that the player in blue, sorry, I don't know the Verona players, tries to catch the other arm. And the attacking player tries to get rid of his arm. So it's exactly the same situation for me than McTominay and Son. But
are we going to go over
same result? So maybe Steve is right. Maybe the referees are right.
Oh my God! That's a forearm smash.
For me, look now. Now the player tries to grab his arm and he tries to get rid of the arm, is holding him. So for me, it shouldn't be a foul.
Okay.
That's WrestleMania.
Who makes the first foul?
Right, Don.
That was the other day.
Don, would you change your mind on this one?
I'm not being a hypocrite, but that one is a foul. Stevie said on the Son McTominay one that McTominay struck, which I didn't think was the case. I think that is a case of it's an elbow. I wouldn't say it's violent. I'd say loosely it's violent, but the referee and the VAR guy's got that one spot on, in my opinion. That shouldn't have stood. It's a good call.
Frank?
Well, I'm stunned. I'm stunned because if you say...
It's always the guy that got the elbow in his face. He's stunned.
No, but if you agree with... Don, if you agree with me that Son tries to grab him, tries to grab McTominay, you have to agree with... I'm sorry, I don't have the names of the players, that the defender, tries to grab the forward play, the forward's arm. And he tries to get rid of that arm. Look, the second... Look now. And right,
that's
it.
After he's been
that's
hit.
That's it. So
I hear what you're saying.
Frank.
I hear what you're saying. I think the only difference for me is Scott McTominay hitting with his fingernail or his finger when he fobbed him off. That one there was more of a violent elbow.
Frank, he's actually grabbed him after he got hit in the nose.
Okay, let's move on from that. It was a brilliant Clásico this weekend. Real Madrid, of course, with the victory against Barcelona. Ronald Koeman, though, not happy with a big refereeing decision, saying we had the upper hand during the game and had the opportunities for a better result. Unlucky in the end with a wrong decision by the referee and VAR. It was this incident, wasn't it, late on, in which Braithwaite goes down and it looked like Mendy had dragged him down. However, no decision was given, no penalty awarded. Don, was this right?
Yeah, I don't see that as being a penalty. I don't see what Mendy does. I mean, all right, he might put a hand on him, but I mean, look at the way Braithwaite goes down. I mean, does that knock you over? Does it make you dive like that backwards on the floor? Not sure why Koeman's... Not sure what Koeman's getting at there, really.
Frank?
It's a penalty for me because Donny forgets the pace of the brace weight, and we've been defenders. We know that you touch with that pace, you touch the players, is gonna be deviated by the movement. And Mendy grabs his arm and tries to push him, so he tries now to get it. And because he goes fast, he goes on the floor. For me, it's a penalty. I mean, I was a defender, and maybe I would have been upset with the decision. But if I watch on TV, I say, well, okay, I tried to grab him. Maybe he exaggerated the movement. But what can I say? I did that movement. I tried to push him.
Steve, are you okay? Do you need the bathroom?
I keep going back and forward on this one. You know, it's a contact sport. You're allowed contact. You're allowed to touch your opponent.
Oh, well.
The question is...
contact when you want it to be... When you want it to contact.
Exactly.
It depends on the contact.
Exactly, Frank.
You decide for the contact, though.
I said earlier on, you're allowed to make contact.
Well, you have to make a rule for contact, so we have to be very precise on the contact we are talking about. It's getting crazy. That's what's getting crazy.
I was going to agree with you, Frank, but I'm changing my mind. I'm going with Dawn.
Yeah!
He's murdering.
That's a tight one, yeah?
I love you, Stevie. I love you. You know that I love you.
I do. I go back and forward on that. I really do. I can't make my mind up.
I imagine everyone is going to agree with our final one, which is the Newcastle game against Burnley. Newcastle, of course, in the end, coming from behind to win this match. Should they have had a penalty here, Don?
Definite. I mean, I know what Tarkowski's trying to do. He's trying to volley the ball away, but, I mean, he catches Longstaff on the head.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean...
That's
a definite penalty.
Frank, it is a contact sport.
It is a contact sport, Frank, remember.
Well, that's crazy. I can't even know. I don't know. I don't know the name of the ref, but I don't even know how it's not a penalty. I mean, it's a kick in the face. Come on. It's Australian football. I don't know if it's even allowed in Australian football.
They have Aussie rules.
Look at that.
No, you can't even do that in Aussie rules.
That's good. Stephen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoever's on the VAR needs treatment.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh, that's nice. Where we
maybe
end.
Don's laser
now, that's the thing.
Maybe
Dan,
Don's laser
Dan,
eyes.
Dan,
yes.
That's the thing about the problem that we have with the people in the VAR. If you're not able to see this a clear penalty,
yeah,
that 99.99% of the people who know a little bit of football will all agree with us it's a penalty, that guy should give up. The guy was in the, or the two guys were in the VAR should give up referring because they know nothing about football.
Frank, should they just get some ex-players in there?
That's a big deal. Of course. Of course. Maybe help. Well, they will have to pay a lot. But it can help.
Rubbish ex-players. Any ex-players will do it.
Just not Stevie, though, because they'd go to Stevie and Stevie go, oh, I'm back and forth on this one. I'm back and forth on this one. I'm not sure.
That seems a straightforward answer, but we've just
had
three
players. Yeah, but don't forget,
on.
Don, it's a contact sport.
Yeah, that's true.
We've just had three
it's
players.
A contact sport, though.
Yeah. We're all sitting here disagreeing.
Yeah. But for that one, for example, everyone agreed.
Yeah, somebody should be given another job. It's not acceptable.
Yeah. That is it then. Thank you very much, boys. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Jules and Mark Ogden podcast is available to listen to. Gab away on holiday. Sid Lowe joins them as well to reflect on what happened in El Clasico. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. PSG big favourites have advanced to the semi-final ahead of that second leg against Bayern Munich on Tuesday. Remember, it's a 3-2 lead that they take into this tie. Want to look ahead to it. Frank's still with us. He's welcome Casey and Archie to the show as well. Archie, what's the general vibe in Germany going into this second leg?
There's still a lot of talk, Dan, about this conflict between sporting director Hasan Salihamidžić and coach Hansi Flick. That said, there's still, I would say, some optimism. You could see it in the very bouncy Thomas Müller that appeared at the press conference before their trip to Paris. And I think that Bayern have every reason to be hopeful, given the chances that they created against PSG last week. On a normal day, I think 8 out of 10 times they would win that game. The problem is now, how do they approach this game, given the fact that PSG have shown already this season that they are weaker against sides that let them have the ball, and Bayern are a side that are going to want to have much more of the ball and are going to attack them from the off, which I think could play into PSG's hands again.
Take us through what you think the starting 11 is going to be, Archie. Of course, some big absentees. How are they set going into this match?
So, if we have a look there, I think that David Alaba will start at centre-back. Leon Goretzka was injured in the game against PSG last week. He had to go off and he missed the game against Union at the weekend. But I think that he's going to come back in. He trained today, we found out from Hansi Flick. And then Niklas Süle also out of this game. So too is Serge Gnabry. So I think that those are the only options really that Hansi Flick has, at least going forward. I think there was a question mark over whether he'll go with Lucas Hernandez or Alphonso Davies at left back. But I think that Davies' pace lends itself more to playing against Neymar and Kylian Mbappe.
Casey, is that starting 11 good enough not only to win in Paris, but win by the margin that's necessary to see them through?
I think, obviously, the huge loss of Lewandowski. And you have to think that the rest of the side, yes, I like the rest of the lineup. I think it's a very good Bayern side. But when you're going to need to outscore your opponents, because I really don't see Bayern keeping a clean sheet, they've struggled so much defensively. PSG, obviously, very strong on the counterattack. Lots of pace, power, Mbappe, Neymar. So I just don't think so. I just don't think they'll be able to outscore PSG the way they need to without Lewandowski. And there's just that defensive issue that obviously they have to clean up next season.
All the talk, as you mentioned, going into this tie, Artie, regarding Hansi Flick and his future. We're speaking to Jürgen Klinsmann and Jan, talking about the likelihood that he will be leaving in the summer to take charge of the German national team. They're quite bullish on that. You think maybe they're talking nonsense?
I think, Dan, that if you're having to come out again, as Karl-Heinz Rummenigge did, to deny it for a second time, then there's something afoot that Bayern are worried. Because if it was the case that he was just staying, then Bayern could sit back and be like, OK, no worries. But the fact that Rummenigge felt the need to come out again, I think shows you that Bayern feel that they have to fight for him. And they have to ask themselves the question as well, who is more valuable to them? Hasan Salihamidžić, the sporting director, or Hansi Flick? If you listen to the readers of Kicker magazine in Germany, who were asked in a poll today who was more important, then 94% said Hansi Flick. I think the 6% might have been the members of the Salihamidžić family. But I think that there's a decision to be made. And just generally as well, Dan, watching Hansi Flick around the post-match interview area, as I have for quite a lot of this season, he is disgruntled at the best of times when they're winning games in the last minute. He doesn't really want to be there a lot of the time. Maybe it's just the prospect of speaking to us in the media. But actually, there was a moment after the PSG game last week where the local broadcaster was keeping him waiting for their interview, going around Zooms with fans. And he actually stepped out of the interview of doing it because he just had to wait and calm himself down. I actually caught eyes with him, and it was like looking into the gates of hell at that moment. So I think that he probably believes, you know what, I could have a little bit more of a quiet life if he took the Germany job, because also on the horizon in Germany is Euro 2024, a home tournament, which is a big attraction to a coach. And dealing with what he has to deal with at Bayern right now, and the fact that Hasan Salihamidžić didn't do very well when he had perhaps the best hand of any sporting director in Europe, come and join the European champions, I can understand his frustration.
Meanwhile, Frank, for PSG, all rosy, isn't it? Going into this, 3-2 up, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, maybe too much of confidence from them. And we know that when they're too sure about themselves and their football, sometimes they're punished. It happened against Manchester United. It happened a long time ago against Barcelona away from home in the second leg. It almost happened some weeks ago against Barcelona in the second leg in Parc des Princes, where they won 4-1 away from home, but they could have been beaten even in the first half 4-0. So when everything goes right with Paris Saint-Germain, you have to be worried. I think they have to be under big pressure to make sure that they're going to serve the club, and I'm talking about the players, the best they can. It's always when they're under pressure that they really play the best. When they're too easygoing, you don't know what's going to happen. So hopefully it's going to work that time. You know, the odds are saying that if you lose 3-2 first leg in the quarterfinal, you have 100% chances of going through. Hopefully it's going to work for them, but it's Paris Saint-Germain. And we have to be cautious because we know the history of that club.
Some team news, Frank. Marquinhos definitely out. However, Pochettino can count on Florenzi and Verratti back in the squad. How significant is that?
Well, the absence of Marquinhos is huge. He's the real leader. Even if Kimpembe is doing the job, he's the real leader of the defense and maybe the team. He's the captain of the team after all. And the fact that Verratti is back is also something important because in the middle of the park, you need somebody to create and to give the ball in counter-attacks for Mbappe and Neymar. But I'm not sure that Verratti will be ready. Pochettino saying that they will see and they will take a very late decision regarding Verratti's presence in the middle of the park. I don't know yet, but it's very important that he is in the middle of the park because he is very important in the strategy that Paris Saint-Germain has.
Casey, we all know PSG struggles in this tournament when they're ahead. Psychologically, how much does that play a part in that match on Tuesday?
Well, I think it always plays a part. I mean, you always look back, even if you're trying not to. I mean, we've seen it, you know, throughout football that these things kind of repeat themselves at times. And I think PSG has to be, you know, very aware of that. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they approach, you know, this match. Do they sit back and defend, give Bayern Munich the ball and hit on the counter? Or are they the home side and do they try to stretch their lead? It's interesting. And I think Frank makes a very good point about the attitude going forward. And they have to start this match, you know, confident, but not overconfident. And if they think that this tie is over, this is a very talented Bayern Munich side with or without Robert Lewandowski. And they need to be wary because obviously, Bayern Munich created a ton of chances in that first match. And on a different day, they could have won that match 5-3, 6-3. So they know there's a lot of firepower in the Bayern Munich side. But at the same time, they have to be overwhelming favorites, as the bookies have shown. Three away goals, knowing that Bayern has to win by multiple goals in the match away from home. But again, a very, very talented Bayern Munich side.
Let's get some quick picks then, starting with you, Casey. Who goes through?
Oh, PSG goes through. I can't imagine they're going to screw this up. But I still think Bayern has a chance, but PSG will go through.
Archie?
The force is strong with PSG, but not in the way that you think it is. So Bayern will go through.
Good. Thank you very much for that, Archie. Frank?
I would be stubborn. Always say that Bayern Munich was the favorite. So I will keep thinking that until the last minute, and after I would change my mind, saying that I was wrong. Uh-huh. That's it.
Good, Stevie. Would you like to contribute to any of this? Who goes through?
Bayern.
Thank you very much.
I think that's enough. I don't want to overdo it.
That is enough. Meanwhile, the other tie, Manchester City taking a 2-1 lead into the second leg in journey against Borussia Dortmund. No surprise, Pep Guardiola's side 9-1 on to make it through to the semi-finals. What was interesting, I thought, about the first leg last week, Archie, was that was one of the best performances we've seen for Borussia Dortmund this season.
Yeah, about time that they turned up for a big game, albeit you could say that they have done that in other big games this season. And like they did against Bayern Munich, they threw it away in the final minutes with a very simple error. It was, I think, about time, because for so long this side has been very inconsistent, as I said to you before, Dan, I think that there are problems in how this side has been constructed. But for all of that talent they do have, this is the thing with young players. If you catch them on a good day, as Jude Bellingham has been having much more consistently than he was in the first half of the season, and the way that he's developed is very impressive, then they do have the tools to hurt teams. What they need to happen back at Dortmund this time is Erling Haaland to end the longest goal drought of his career since he was back in the Norwegian second division. So I think that if you look at when that started as well, it came around the time that the latest set of talks around his future, that trip that his dad and Mino Raiola took to Barcelona, that coincides, and that has written a lot of press narrative. So let's see if Dortmund can prey on the Manchester City nerves and Pep Guardiola's usual overthinking at around about this time of the Champions League competition. I'm not sure what's stronger right now, the chances of PSG throwing this away or Manchester City and Pep Guardiola overthinking it once more.
Casey, I suppose for Dortmund, it's a nice situation. Expectation is very low going into this tie, as it was the first leg. So the shackles are off. You can just play and enjoy this sort of moment.
Yeah, but can you really against a team as talented as Man City? I think if we go back to that first leg and you look at the first goal where Emre Can gives possession away in midfield and they get hit on the counter. This Borussia Dortmund side, they will spread themselves out. They will try to play in certain areas and then get hit. But then what was great was the way they scored the goal. They had to stay compact defensively, look for that run in behind with Erling Haaland, and then Haaland drawing a lot of attention and hitting that excellent reverse pass that led the goal from Marco Reus. But they have to be so disciplined in this match. They have to be able to rely on the odd counterattack, let Erling Haaland do his thing, maybe against two or three players, and then get the support. I'm just not sure that this Dortmund team can stay that disciplined throughout the match. The goal they conceded at the weekend against Stuttgart, They had so much of the ball, then all of a sudden it was like a 3v1 against the defense because they just fell asleep, gave a ball away, and got hit on the counter. And that's what I'm afraid of for Dortmund, where I think Man City will capitalize.
Great stuff as always. Casey and Archie, thank you very much. Archie, sort out those dirty dishes. Just a reminder, we'll be back tomorrow to reflect on both of those big games. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Everton can only manage a 0-0 draw today against Brighton, meaning they remain 8th, 7th adrift of the top four. They do have a game in hand, though. However, it was a little cluttered to have Everton, or indeed Spurs, in this graphic, looking ahead to the remaining fixtures for those vying for the top four. So we've put in Leicester, West Ham, Chelsea and Liverpool. Hey, you've got to be happy, Stevie. Look at that run-in for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Five of those seven games, the teams have already beaten us.
No, you won't lose again, though.
Oh, no, but you said we wouldn't lose the first time round.
But look, if I could offer you any of those run-ins, you would take yours every day, wouldn't you?
Right now, it's not about who the opposition is for Liverpool. It's about them. Listen, Liverpool at the best can beat any other team in the league. The problem is, Liverpool at the best, we haven't seen it for so long
right. That
we don't know what we're getting. And even though it's Burnley, even though it's West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, these are all teams that have already beaten Liverpool that we said wouldn't do it the first time. So I'm sorry, I've got I've got nothing
so
to do.
So Liverpool aren't going to make top four?
No.
They're not?
No.
Still?
Absolutely not.
Don, let's welcome back Don. Don, are you as definitive on Liverpool's chances of Champions League football as Stevie?
No, I mean, I look at those fixtures. If you're a Liverpool fan, you can be optimistic. I mean, Liverpool have just won three games on the spin in the Premier League. So I look at teams like Leicester and I look at their last three, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man U, they're hard.
Yeah.
Chelsea's fixtures are horrible.
Yeah.
You know, West Ham, Man City, Arsenal, Leicester, Villa. I think if you're a Liverpool fan, you look at those and you go, the next game is the most important game, obviously after Real Madrid, and that's going to be Leeds. If they turn over Leeds, that's four wins on the spin in the Premier League.
Yeah, Stevie.
I didn't mention Leeds absolutely scared the pants off Liverpool at the start of the season.
Everyone's scared the pants off Liverpool, well, but you've turned the corner now.
I'm just saying.
It's fine.
I mean, you're talking there, you've got two teams sat in that what you just showed us, Chelsea and West Ham, but you know exactly what you're getting when they step on the field. And Don's talking about Chelsea's running. Chelsea don't give goals up.
I've criticised Chelsea because they don't score enough goals.
Yes, they had a complete and utter blooper against West Brom, but that's 1 in 15. 1 in 15. So you're going to go with Liverpool when you've got Chelsea, who are absolutely, every time they step on the field, pretty much, you know what you're getting. And West Ham's the same. Leicester, Don's right, horrible last three games.
Right.
A team that look as though they're struggling for form. So there's your two.
West Ham, Chelsea.
Chelsea, West Ham. Yeah, I think so.
Who's your two, Don?
Don't know, because it changes every week. I don't think you can say Liverpool can't get in the top four and they're not going to do it. I mean, they're still Liverpool. They've still got the same players. As I said, they've still got three on the spin. If you're a fan of those sides, I was at West Ham and they beat Leicester 3-2 and it should have been a lot more. It was so comfortable. Got a bit scary towards the end. But even West Ham fans will tell you, their next game is Newcastle. Now, everyone thinks, well, West Ham will beat Newcastle. I was at the London Stadium on match day one. Newcastle turned up and smashed West Ham. Absolutely battered them. So the form...
Who's your two now, Don? Who's your two right now?
Then. I think Leicester miss out and I think Chelsea and Liverpool get there.
Wow, here you go. Take that, West Ham. Meanwhile, of course, as Don rightly mentioned, for Liverpool, their next match is Real Madrid at Anfield, looking to turn around that 3-1 deficit after the first leg. The bookies have Real Madrid as big favourites. Don, we asked you for your Liverpool 11, how you thought Klopp was going to go. Surprise, surprise, no Keita in the starting 11, but no Jota either.
No, I thought he'd done the right thing. Jurgen Klopp playing Jota in the first leg. It didn't work out for him. He didn't get any change off the centre-half. So I think when Jurgen looks at it again and he might see Firmino or wanting Firmino to lead the line, he's more reliable. He can link the play a little bit better. And I've gone with probably Liverpool's strongest side. That's obviously available. I think Jota might come off the bench if needed. But to link the play, I think Firmino might do a better job. Salah's still scoring goals. And I've got Sadio Mane back in the side. He was rested at the weekend. But he surely has to go with Gino Wijnaldum, Fabinho and Thiago in midfield. Has to, surely.
Does that 11 work for you, Stevie?
I would actually play Jota ahead of Firmino.
Right.
I think the things that Don are saying are right about Firmino links to play. But he hasn't been doing that either. And he hasn't been scoring goals, that's for sure. So I think you've got to play the guy who, from nowhere, can put the ball in the net. And the truth is, since I can remember, Liverpool haven't been creating. You know, we keep talking about the front three not scoring goals. Mm. Well, you really have to create chances to score. And Liverpool haven't been creating goals. And again, you go with what they're doing at the back. Not just the two centre-backs. But Alisson hasn't made a save of any note for a long time as well.
Yeah.
You know, so the positives for Liverpool are pretty slim right now.
So let's build on that. Your predictions, Stevie? Because you won't be with us tomorrow.
I don't see Liverpool going through because I can't see them keeping a clean sheet. That means that Liverpool have to score three.
Yes.
In order to still be in the tie, which means to actually win it, they've got to score four. I mean, really? A team that has been creating and scoring goals is going to have to score four against Real Madrid.
3-1, extra time, penalties.
That's a nice positive thought. I just don't see it happening.
Don?
No, I don't see it. I see the scoreline something like a 1-1. I think Liverpool have given themselves too much to do. Listen, I mean, it's
but
it's
Liverpool
one of them
have such a better midfield, fans, Don.
Yeah, I know, but I know what you're saying. I know you're trying to tease me. I get exactly what you're doing. But I still think when you look at Real Madrid, they've got a goal in them. Listen, the romantic in me thinks fans in the stadium, Liverpool full strength, it wouldn't stun you over the last however many years if Liverpool beat Real Madrid 2-0 and went through. It's not going to happen this time. They've not got the fans to try and rely on.
Don's a defeated
man. They've
still
got Kabak and Phillips. Well, I sort of am. I'm respecting the opposition. I think Benzema, Vinicius Junior was the best player on the pitch alongside Toni Kroos in the last game. I understand Vasquez is missing as well, so that's another injury blow for Zidane to try and deal with. So I think the start of the game is the most important thing. If Liverpool go 1-0 up inside half an hour, then they could go through.
What percentage, Don, Liverpool to go through?
70-30 against.
There we go. Thank you very much. Don joins us on Extra Time and shows off some of his Italian that he learned during his Premier League days. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Action for you internationally as the US women are playing France tomorrow. That game live on ESPN2 at 3 p.m. Eastern. And for a preview looking ahead to that game, be sure to join Seb Salazar and Julie Fowdy on the latest edition of Football America's. Ali Moreno also joins him on the latest show. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thank you very much for joining us. Looking forward, of course, to Bayern against PSG tomorrow. Be sure, though, to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Frank, Don and Stevie staying with me to answer your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie is with us here in the studio. We also welcome Don and Frank with us as well. Frank has a secret I was going to tell everyone, but I don't because he'll get very angry.
Go on.
Okay.
Tell me.
No, I can't tell. You know it. You know what it is.
I do.
Yes. Okay. Right. Here we go, then. Happy National Grilled Cheese Day. That is for you, Don.
Wow.
Brilliant, love that. Won't be touching it. Love it though.
Frank, I don't know if you know, but Don hates melted cheese. Can't stand it. It's just like his kryptonite.
Well, does he eat ordinary cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I like ordinary cheese.
Taste. Oh. I can understand them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit weird. Isn't
bit
it?
Of cheese,
weird.
Bit of pickle.
There are some
bit
cheese.
Cheddar, but...
Go on, Frank.
There are some cheese I don't like. There are some cheese I don't like. And we have 446, I think, cheese in France.
Wow.
And some I don't like. The blue one, I don't like them. Right. But I like...
No.
I like camembert. I like the fermentation. Yeah. You know, when
it's strong.
He played for France, didn't he?
I think the weirdest thing out of all of that
is Stevie goes,
that's a bit weird. We're talking about Don hating melted cheese coming from Stevie and his diet.
All right.
Okay, let's talk some soccer. Frank, what should Manchester United do with the Cavani situation? Should they extend him for another year or try to sign someone like Kane or Haaland?
Well, that's you cannot compare. You know, I know what Cavani is capable of bringing into the dressing room and also on the field. Well, we saw the last game that he was running everywhere, never gave up. He had a diesel load goal, but he scored at the end. I mean, that guy is an example. And Manchester United is a young team, and they need players like that. So it can be added to Kane or Haaland, but they need to keep Cavani. And I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows the importance of Cavani on the field and in the dressing room.
Do you agree, Don?
Not really. I mean, I think they should try and keep Cavani. Don't get me wrong, because I think Mason Greenwood's learning a lot off him. The trouble is, if you don't buy Haaland, you're going to allow him to go somewhere else. And you're going to allow him to go Liverpool, Man City, which is going to strengthen them, which is going to make your job as a Man United manager harder. So I understand the dilemma, but I think if you're going to go and spend a lot of money, you try and buy Kane or Haaland.
Should Real Madrid, Don, consider signing Jesse Lingard, or is he too good for a club of their size?
West Ham are going to get him. West Ham are going to get him. The rumours over here is that, you know, he might stay in London. Arsenal are sniffing at him. Tottenham are having a little look as well. But I'd like to think he might show a little bit of loyalty towards David Moyes. You know, the job that David Moyes has done, bringing him back from, you know, United into West Ham. He's on fire at the moment. He's enjoying himself. He's loved in the dressing room. I follow him and people like Declan Rice on social media, and the atmosphere is good. The chemistry is all good. And why would you want to go anywhere else, the form that he's in?
Yeah, take that, Real Madrid. Why would you want to leave West Ham for them? If Frank could choose where Mbappe should go next, which club and league does he think would suit the player best?
Wow. With the kind of talent that he has, you know, any league will suit him. It's yeah. How he's going to be served and the tactic the coach is going to use with him. I don't know. I think he wants to go to Real Madrid. And I think that if he has to leave Paris Saint-Germain, he will go to Real Madrid. I would love to see him in the Premier League, but I don't see him getting that choice. And it's why the only for me way and only club that he can go, if he wants to go, is going to be Real Madrid.
What classic did you come up with during the show, Don? Premier League quality. Quality is so deep in the Premier League compared to other rubbishy leagues.
I said deep. I think you're trying to tweak me into talking American there. The quality is deep. I didn't say that.
Well, what did you say? It's your normal when you're doing your World Feed commentary. You're always pipe on about how great the Premier League is and how it's so unpredictable compared to all the other leagues.
Well, it is. Well, it is. I was at West Brom last week, and who would have predicted they would have beat Chelsea 5-2?
Yes.
Don't think you get that in other leagues.
Of course you do.
Do you?
Yes.
You get a team in the bottom two.
Yep.
Can stuff one of the big boys 5-2.
Where are Chelsea in the league? Sixth. I'm sure we can go over the records and find fourth. Someone that's in the fourth. Relegation zone is beating a team that's sitting fifth, sixth.
Well, yeah, but there's more examples than I've just said there. It's like, you know, all right, Sheffield United.
Don, don't
couldn't
get
win a game,
with
not
them.
Won a game all season.
Don't
beat
get
Man
involved
United.
With them, Don.
No, he's trying to prod. He's trying
of course
to prod.
He is.
He's not going to get a reaction.
It's too late.
It's just this urban myth around the Premier League that anyone can beat anyone, and that doesn't
it's
happen in any
myth.
Other league.
Hold on a second. Let's be honest, right?
No, it happens more in the Premier League than it does other leagues. That teams in the bottom three can beat the top sides.
Don, I think
you'd have to agree with that.
No, I don't, Don. I don't think you've got anything that will back that up.
Don.
I'll just give you two. I'll just give you Sheffield United, Man United, and I'll give you West Brom, Chelsea.
But look at La Liga. What? Don. Cadiz have beaten Real Madrid this season. Getafe have beaten them. Alcorcon have beaten them.
Who?
Exactly.
What's your point?
My point is that it's an urban myth that anyone can beat anyone in the Premier
it's
League.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It's a propaganda thrown at us
it's
all the time.
Propaganda.
Hold on.
It's the toughest league in the world.
Hey, go back to the question.
Yes. What was the question?
Unless Mbappe goes to La Liga or the Premier League and scores the amount of goals that people like Messi and Ronaldo did, he's never going to get the recognition that those two in particular did, scoring all the goals they had.
Right.
So if he stays in France forever and scores 100 million goals, it's never going to get the recognition.
No, that's fair. Unless he wins three more World Cups.
Yeah, but the Premier League is one of the places where if he does it, it'll get recognised.
Most definitely.
Which goes on Don's
side. How many times, Daniel?
Oh,
Daniel, how many times
How many times did Real Madrid and Barcelona lose six games at home on the spin?
Right.
How many times has that ever happened in their history?
So are we saying that because the quality that Liverpool have faced, or that Liverpool have such a massive injury crisis that they've had a million centre-back pairings this season?
It's a little bit of both.
I don't think it is a little bit of both.
Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, and Firmino scoring. So it's a little bit of both.
Right, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Where are we? Dom, would you rather play in a world-class team managed by an average average manager or an average team managed by a world-class manager?
No, a world-class team.
Mm. Yeah.
All day long, because the world-class team can ignore what the manager says if he's average.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, Stevie's nodding, Frank's nodding as well. For all these tough-tackling defenders, why have shin guards become so small? Back in the day, those strong shin guards let you put in strong tackle and not be hurt. Am I wrong? There's, of course, a famous picture of a Griezmann with just what looked like a postage stamp as his shin guards. Why have they got so small, Don?
I don't know. I just think because players don't get tackled so hard, so they don't feel the need to wear... I mean, when we played, we used to have the shin pads that were ankle pads and it all weighed a ton.
Yeah.
Because the tackles were quite fierce. Maybe the players now want to try and be lighter on their feet, a little bit speedier. Don't know.
A bit soft.
Soft?
Well, you don't need shin guards anymore because you can't tackle anybody and nobody tackles.
No.
I don't know whether you remember, but there was a titanic 50-50 in the Liverpool-Arsenal game last week.
And you thought that,
Alexander-Arnold and Aubameyang were going at a ball, right?
Right.
The two of them initially were running at 100 miles an hour to get to it. And both of them, when they got to it, all of a sudden got scared and the two of them stuck their wee pinky toes in.
Really?
What an absolute embarrassment it was.
Wow.
I was screaming at the TV.
Wow.
The two of them.
Frank,
so who needs shin guards?
Did you ever break shin guards? Anything like that?
Almost, but I remember that I started and it wasn't compulsory, so I started without any shin guard. I started my career without, and it's only after around 1992 that they forced us to wear them. But I agree with the guys. I think football is not aggressive anymore, not dangerous anymore. It's only accidental at some point, you know what I mean? But otherwise, it's not dangerous anymore. You don't have crazy guys like Steve Nicholls or Frank LeBeuf at the back.
No.
Dan, talking about snapping shin pads, I've done the worst tackle on Manu Petit ever. And it was a disgrace of a tackle. And I went into him really, really hard in an Everton-Arsenal game. Second last game of the season when they won, they beat us 4-1 and Tony Adams scored. And I heard the snap. And when you hear a snap shin pad, it's exactly the same noise as a snapped broken bone.
Wow.
And I thought I'd done Manu Petit and I was terrified. I sort of thought I'd done myself, no pain. And I looked at Manu, wasn't really in any sort of too much distress. And I realized that it was a snap shin pad that made the noise. Manu walked straight down the tunnel, got his shin pad, threw it on the pitch, and he made Arsene Wenger make a change. And that was about 2 months before France 98.
Wow.
Terrible tackle.
How did France 98 go, Frank? I forget. What happened?
I don't remember, but I remember that the noise that that Don thinks it was in fact the ponytail of Nicolas Petit.
Blew it.
Don, was that before or after you were chatting to him about divorces?
Oh no, that was well before. That was about 15 years before, because I used to work with him quite a lot in the Premier League, and he used to, every time he got off the Eurostar, he used to come into the Premier League and he'd go, look, and he's got a massive scar on his shin. He went, you, and we got on really well, so we had a good chat after.
Right then, if you could have a nickname on the back of your jersey, similar to what we saw in the Classico, Vinny Jr., what would it be? Stevie, I imagine you're not the massive fan of nicknames on the back of your shirt.
No.
Your nickname was but was he Bumper when you were at Liverpool with him, Don?
Bumper? Yeah, he was Bumper. Yeah, Bumper.
Yeah, because you said you had a few.
Or Nico. Yeah, Bumper.
Yeah. Don, what were you, Hutch?
Yeah, I was a Hutch, but then Sammy Lee sort of twisted it a little bit and he started calling me Dutch.
Why?
So Don, well, Don and Hutch.
Oh,
so he's just
like
Dutch.
Amalgamation of the two.
Why?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Why?
All right.
A lot of work in it, that, didn't it?
All right, that might have been a deeper story. Maybe there was a trip to Amsterdam. Frank, nickname?
Well, I guess I was thinking about it. I don't want to name Lovely Boy after Ruud Gullit. I don't want to say French beep. I can't say it.
Right.
You know, from the English. I would say beefy.
Beefy? Beefy?
That would have been nice.
Would you like to have that beefy on the back?
Definitely not.
No.
I just answered to the question.
I thought that might be the answer. MLS starts this weekend, Stevie. Which club has the best atmosphere in MLS while you were coaching?
Best atmosphere. Well, initially
Seattle.
The place I used to love to go to was DC initially.
Right. Wow.
But then by the time I left, you had Seattle.
Yep.
Coming to the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that was phenomenal.
What was Portland like, Stevie? I'd done a pre-season at Portland.
Yeah, Portland was great as well. But
used to climb the big tree.
The problem with Portland, Don, is that it's only really half of the stadium that is amazing, because the other half kind of backs onto a supermarket or something. Can't quite remember what it is. But the one half is mental, but the other half's just kind of average. Whereas
Seattle
is just
like climbing
the
tree.
Timber Joey cuts the trunk every time they score. Yep, we know what a chainsaw fell.
Yeah.
Why were you there for pre-season, Don? Why didn't you stay?
What a ridiculous question that is, Dan. We were there for pre-season.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought you meant you had pre-season with the Timbers.
No, I was in Coventry and we'd done Salt Lake City and Portland and played some games over there. It was amazing. Salt Lake City was amazing. Altitude training.
Oh, that's it. Okay. I wish to comment on Jan, Frank and Jürgen. Your English is quite impressive. You even use idioms and other colloquial terms. Do you wish the British cast tried their hand at learning other languages, as English speakers never tend to even try? We're very arrogant, aren't we, Frank, really, when it comes to speaking other languages, the English?
No, I can understand you. It's the language of business and it's a worldwide language. It became the first language in the world. But, you know, like the Spanish, they don't need to speak another language because you can speak almost all around the world. The French have been very stubborn in a way and vain in another world, where they thought that they could speak only French and everywhere around the world. No, I understand that. I came to Chelsea, and I have to be really frank, one of the most important reasons of me signing to England was to learn English. And for my kids also to be able to speak English for my future. And I'm so glad that I made that decision, because I can be in front of you trying to speak English the best I can. I struggle, but I try to do my best.
You do very well, Frank. Don, did you ever have the chance to go abroad? Did not learning a new language appeal to you?
Yes and no. I had a little sniff of Inter Milan. It never ever come off. But when I was at Sheffield United, for some reason, I started to learn Italian. And I was just bored, just going on the same away trips, listening to music, watching. I don't even know if movies were on the Sheffield United coach. I can't remember. They were sort of later on. And I thought, what can I do instead of just sitting on a coach for 4 hours every other week? So I started to learn a little bit of Italian. The trouble was, no one spoke it in Sheffield. And then it was sort of a waste of time because I didn't go anywhere. Didn't go to Italy. So I just sort of went in.
Hold on a minute. They
got a little bit. I forgot the lot.
I used to go to an Italian restaurant every Saturday night after the game. My missus. They were all Italian.
Hey, I don't know. I should have gone there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I should have went there. I mean, where was that, Stevie?
Ooh.
Sheffield.
Oh, do you know where Spackle used to live? It used to be near Spackle's house. Can't remember the name of the town. It was about 40 minutes from my house. I'll have got past the stadium.
I'd be pretty wasted, wouldn't I, if all I could do was say please and thank you in an Italian restaurant.
So, Don...
We can have a conversation with the guy.
Don, what have you retained? Yeah, can you still remember from those courses? Oh,
don't even get me started, Dan. I knew I shouldn't have said it.
Come on, Don. Come on, give us it.
Come on.
Ragazza. Ragazza means something. Is that man or woman?
It's from the round.
I think that means woman or man.
Ragazza means woman.
Trust
there
Don.
There you go.
Hey, Don.
Ragazzi.
Don, I speak
ragazzi
Italian.
Ragazzi is men.
Come va, Don? Come va? Va bene, Don?
That's for that song.
Va bene? Come va?
Oh, beautiful.
You have to answer to me.
Breaking up.
Va bene? Tutta a posto?
Breaking up, Frank.
John, yeah, prego, okay. Prego. Okay. You know, prego.
Ah, oh, dear.
Prego.
Prego.
There you are.
Prego.
Prego. Thank you very much.
Piacere, Don.
Si.
Ciao, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for more, of course. It is PSG against Bayern Munich. We'll be back tomorrow to look back at that.